You're listening to Rosie on the House.
Come on around back, Arizona. You know that sound. It's 8 o'clock, and we're heading around the side of the yard into the outdoor living hour here at Rosie on the House, and it is the fifth Saturday of the month. What does that mean? You know, the first Saturday of the month in this hour, we talk with the Arizona Farm Bureau, all things agricultural. Second Saturday of the month, we talk with arborist and arboriculture with John Eisenhower. Third Saturday, we talk landscape gardening, lawns with Jay Harper. Fourth hour, we talk urban farming with Greg Peterson. So what do we do with the fifth hour, with the fifth Saturday? We get these four, occasionally five times a year on leap years, and we always do something extremely special, and we brought in a special guest that really, you've taken all four of those things, agricultural, arboriculture, landscape, and urban farming, and combined them into your own unique term. Did you come up with this term?
Agriscaping, yes, I absolutely came up with that term. It was has everything to do with what you're describing. We had to figure a word that we could easily create and communicate the message of what we do.
Well, Justin Rauner of Agriscaping Edible, Elegant Edible Landscape, brilliant name.
Well, thanks.
As soon as I saw that, I thought, one more idea. I should have thought of first.
We should have been talking back then, I guess, Romy.
Well, no, congratulations. So Agriscaping, tell us everything that means in your words, other than elegant edible landscape.
Well, to me, it means bringing together the best of productive agriculture with the best of ornamental landscaping and doing it one yard at a time, you know, being able to recognize that a small scape can be very productive and still be beautiful. You know, your HOA doesn't have to get on your case, you know, because you got food growing in your front yard. And that's where we started. We started because I had to buy a house on 9/11. And on that day, all of a sudden, my life didn't feel safe, and I needed to be able to grow my own food. And I had to grow it in a very strict HOA and find a way to do it so my neighbors and everybody didn't get mad at me. And that's kind of where it grew out of. It grew out of a necessity that I had to make sure looked pretty, and it's turned into what it is today.
That's very interesting. Jerry Colangelo had a line I'll always remember when I heard him speak once, that there's opportunity in adversity. So, you know, as horrible of a tragedy as 9/11 was, it is what it is. It happened. This concept has grown out of that.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm very appreciative of that time. I mean, it was a terrible time, but it brought out a lot of greatness in people. And I think it continues to evolve even to this day, just with all of us and the memories we have about that time and the shifts we make to make a change in our life or our landscapes. I mean, it's a memory we're able to create every day.
How much space do I need to agriscape?
You got a square foot, you got a pot, you can agriscape. Have you seen those little fairy gardens people are making? You can make it edible, you know? So you don't need a lot of space, almost nothing, and still make a beautiful space that can produce a lot of food for you. And for us, I guess the really question comes down to how much of it do you want to eat? And how much space do you need for you and your family?
And I hear agriscaping, and I think, so you're taking your landscape and you're making agriculture, and this becomes a money generator.
It certainly can be. And I guess and it comes down to when we work with the client, we'll come over to the place and we'll do a production or productivity assessment. We'll really find out, well, what's the production that the family would need to accommodate all their fresh food needs? Can we put it into their landscape? If so, how? You know, what layers are we going to be doing? Do we have to do vertical gardening? Are we going to have to go inside and do aquaponics and actually bring in fish and do some crazy stuff like that? You know,
and you know, there's 13 squares up on top of that roof.
Exactly. There we go. And so where are we going to have to put it in order to produce for them? Or is there ample space that we can produce for themselves and beyond? And is it something we can integrate in the local food economy and really make a moneymaker for them? Is it something that they could retire on, as we've had a couple of clients do? They just retire on their yard. And you know, we had a gal it was a quarter acre. She retired off of that.
Your home paid off.
Yeah.
Your car's paid off.
Right.
All you have is your living expenses, your utility bills, and your property tax. You know, that could be a very manageable number that you could easily overproduce on a quarter acre.
Right. I mean, the numbers we like to tell people, give them a ballpark if they're looking at the square footage they want to commit to an agriscape. Our average right now is $7.82 per square foot
Okay, hang on.
Per year. Yeah, write that down.
$7.82. $7.82 per square foot.
Per square foot per year. Now, that's going to be basically your gross. That's been our experience working through a sister company we helped found called Utopian Harvest, who helps integrate that in a consignment
Utopian
fashion.
Utopian Harvest. You another like great name.
So that's a great organization. It was a company that was donated to us by the grad student that developed it. I was on her board. It was kind of a cool little story that came with that. But it's a way to bring that local harvest into the community and do it in that, you know, accommodating all the food safety laws and all that other stuff to make sure it's done right. But a way to make some money off of that backyard produce.
Now, $7.82 per square foot, and this homeowner was on a quarter acre. Now, right. Granted, not every single square foot, you still got your house, your driveway, not every square foot of this quarter acre was producing something.
Right, so you figure in 30%.
30%.
So let's look at 30% on that.
Okay, so there's 43, just over 43,000 square feet per acre. Mm-hmm. So a quarter of that, we're down to just under 11,000. And you say a third of that?
Yep.
A third of that, so let's go off of 3,000. I'll round it down just a little bit because this is still going to be a significant number.
Yeah.
So 30,000 times 782, and that shoots out $23,000.
There you go.
I'm pretty sure as high as my utility bills are right now, and but I know my utility bills with tax, without even having to go look it up, is under that.
Oh yeah. I mean, you break that down on the month, you got about $1,000 a month you got to work with, and that's the gross on it, right? And so if you're doing all the work, that's the money you get back. You got food that you can then integrate. She ended up, this particular guy I'm thinking of right now who did it on that quarter acre, she ended up buying the neighboring house, knocked down the walls. She rented out the house, but then did the landscaping, you know, agriscaping in the backyard, you know. And so it's a really cool thing that you can do with that kind of stuff. I mean, we've got restaurant gardens that we're producing stuff for these restaurants that they never had before. I mean, we've got subdivisions we're now starting to work on, that the whole subdivision is integrating the agriscaping principle into that and creating their own internal co-ops. You know, 40 houses all working together, growing food.
And there was something about just cultivating the land. I mean, this is all the reasons I moved on to a large property lot, was to just be able to work the land. There's something so rewarding in that to me. Yeah. But you took that and brought it to the next level. For me, it was just a way to decompress. Radio, it's not like you find one out in the country. It's got to have an established metropolitan area. You know, we're right in the mm-hmm. middle of a big city we're broadcasting out of today. You know, even out of Wickenburg, you know, you're still in the office building. You're in a building. You're tied to these structures. And for me, it was just a way to get back to what I enjoy and force me outside. This brings it to a whole new level and possibility.
Exactly, and I think that's the cool part about it too. And with the population growing in more condensed spaces, it's like our food just keeps traveling from further and further away. And so we've got more and more travel that our food is taking. I mean, the average distance, I think right now in Arizona, that food travels is around 1,500 miles, and this is fresh food. So it's like, how fresh do you feel after traveling even 500 miles, you know, and this is going 1,500, we call it fresh food. So we've got a food shortage that's also kind of on the horizon that this is also trying to help accommodate and replace, you know, get rid of some of these food deserts, especially the fresh food deserts and downtowns and stuff like that.
And when you're talking 1,500 miles, you know, a lot of those things are just, we can't grow them here. We can grow a lot. And the reason we did landscaping in September, we've spent the whole month talking about it, is because this is, you've heard us say it all month long, the premier time for planting.
Yeah.
But there's still things you can't, I mean, avocado, pineapple, I mean, coconuts, those three things right there by themselves are easily well over your 1,500 mark. Well, maybe not avocado, but, you know, coconut, pineapple, you're well over your 1,500 mark. And you're not even starting your journey yet.
Right. Well, and out of those names, the only one I haven't been able to figure out here in Arizona is the coconut.
The coconut.
But I do have one growing in my yard right now, but he's only about 3 feet tall. So it's not exactly going to get there very soon.
And when you say in your yard, so this is a couple years of microclimates and developing. It's
correct.
Not something that you could just say, hey, here's what I did for the pineapple. You can plant it today. Well, no, you've got to get this microclimate and you've got to get this kind of shade. I mean, it probably would take a little bit of development.
It takes a little bit of development, some intentionality. You know, I mean, we design with the microclimates all in mind. So our certified designers literally will make sure that they can design and allocate the space in the way that allows you to grow the things you want to grow. And that it's a design science. I mean, we've got to design these things to get them to work as efficiently as they do. We have do-it-yourself classes, but when it all comes down to it, even the do-it-yourselfer needs to go through that design process and really understand what they've got on their site to get the microclimates right, to get the right plant in the right microclimate at the right time. Because just like right now, it's like here we are jumping into October, and it's an awesome time to be planting just about everything, especially tropicals. You know, to give them the time, but only if you put it in the right spot. You put it in the wrong spot, it's going to die this winter. You put it in the right spot, it's going to thrive this winter, and it's going to thrive even more the coming summer. But you got to get in the right spot.
And I'm going to stay high-centered on this pineapple, because looking at this landscape as a business mindset in agriscaping, there's always risk involved.
Right.
How much square foot does this pineapple take up that you're putting a risk on, and how many years before you get produce? Like a pecan, 7 to 10 years, they say, before you expect production. So you've got a time investment before you start seeing that return. If this doesn't work, how many years and how many square foot are you out?
Well, with a pineapple, it's kind of like bananas. It's about an 18-month turnaround to get the pineapple to grow. And you basically just get one pineapple off of that one initial plant that you plant. And then it puts out pups all around that. And so you want to commit at least 24 months to give it time to develop that, as well as the root system, to get it all to work right. And the amount of square footage is only about 2 square feet total. And we like to layer it, so we'll have a couple different things growing in that same space. So we might have a banana, a pineapple, and some lower ground cover all in the same spot.
And how many square feet?
So really just if I have a 2x2, so I guess that ends up being 4 square feet.
So 4 square feet with your 782 equation on a 2-year time, you're out $70 if this doesn't work.
Yeah, there we go. And you got to be allocating the time. See, and that's an average. Because the reality is we can do $22, $24 per square foot depending on what we're growing in that spot. But when we average it over everything else, people like growing a lot more fruit trees, it's going to end up leaning the other direction.
And my season times.
10. Yeah,
your
number seasons.
10? Okay.
Exactly. But, you know, I average about 10 in my yard just to make sure I got it dialed in.
All right. We're talking agriscaping, a concept developed by Justin Rauner here with his company, Edible Landscape. You're out of the Mesa Gilbert Chandler area, Southeast Valley.
We've got certified people all around the valley.
Oh, we'll talk about that after this.